That we may now turn, as the Lord would be pleased to help us, to the chapter of his word that we read, Micah chapter 5, and we may read from verse 2. From verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And by the spirit of prophecy it is here been made known to the church, the very place where the Savior would be born. And that knowledge we gather remained with the Jews, so that when the wise men came from the east, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Herod inquired of the wise men where the Savior was to be born, and they were able to tell him that it was to be in Bethlehem. And there is attention drawn here to the unlikely nature of the great Redeemer being born in a place such as Bethlehem was. It is described as being little among the thousands of Judah. For when the Son of God came into the world, perhaps we might have thought that he would be born in a palace of Caesar in Rome, or a palace of the king in Jerusalem, or in the high priest's palace in Jerusalem. But it was otherwise. In the whole of redemption, God is showing that the wisdom of man is foolishness with him, and he is showing the estate of humiliation in which the Son of God was when he came into the world, even from this aspect of his birth, that he was born in a nondescript place, Bethlehem Ephrata, a small village, little among the thousands of Judah. Out of thee, it is said, here shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. The speaker is therefore God the Father himself. God the Father had his eye on Bethlehem from eternity, when he purposed to create the world, and when he made the world, his eye was on that place. For it is he who is speaking here, and he speaks of this corner, this small village on the earth which he made. And he says, "Thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." Now the very name of the place where the Savior was born had its own significance. Bethlehem means the house of bread, and Ephratah means a place of fruitfulness. And so it is that one who was born in Bethlehem was in that way shadowed forth as he who would be the bread of life, which if a man eat, he would live forever, and who would be the source of all fruitfulness unto God, of all spiritual fruitfulness in the souls of sinners, and all fruitfulness to God on an earth under the curse for its sin world bringing forth thorns and briars. Here is the one who is to come, and of whom it is said he will grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He is to bud forth there in Bethlehem. He is to come forth who is the branch, who is to bring forth fruit to the glory of God, and fruit in the hearts and in the lives of sinners. Bethlehem Ephratah was therefore the place where the Saviour was to be born, and the nature of his coming into the world and the purpose of his coming into the world is here described. When it is said, out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. He who would come forth from the womb of the Virgin Mary, he who would spend his earliest days in Bethlehem, was coming forth from thence, and he was coming forth unto me, says God. He is coming forth unto me, he is coming forth unto my glory, unto the glory that I am to have in the whole scheme of redemption. He is to come forth unto me to obedience to my will. He is coming forth, therefore, he says, unto me. And he is to be in that the ruler in Israel. He is to be the head of Zion. He is to be the head over the church. Among the nations, he is to be the governor. He is to be the great king of Zion. And in that, we have brought out the fact that his coming forth out of Bethlehem was with regard to the good of Israel. He is to be ruler in Israel, happy Israel, who would have him to rule in them and over them, who is the Son of God, who is the Saviour. And there is mention made of his brethren. In the third verse we read, therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, speaking of the way in which the Jews for much of the history prior to the coming of Christ into the world in Bethlehem would be given up to reproach, and for 400 years or so prior to the Saviour's coming would be without a prophet, until she which travaileth hath brought forth, until Zion would bring forth the man-child that she had long been promised, and Mary herself would bring him forth. Then it would be, we are told, that the remnant of his brethren, that is the brethren of the one who was to come forth out of Bethlehem. He has brethren. He has a people given to him by the Father. He is not ashamed to call them brethren. He is himself to be the firstborn among many brethren. He has a covenant relation to them which he had when he took that company of sinners which his Father gave to him to be a people to redeem in the covenant of grace. There is brethren, and he is to be the firstborn among them. They are predestinated to be conformed to his image. They are to come into the same family as he is. They are to receive the adoption of sons. And therefore he is not ashamed to call them brethren. The remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, which points to the ingathering of Gentile and Jew into one church at last. And we then read how he who is to come forth unto God out of Bethlehem will stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord is God, and how in the fifth verse also we read, this man shall be the peace These are the fruits of his death. These are the fruits of his coming into the world and of his death when he went out of the world. It is for this purpose that he has come to Bethlehem, and that he has come forth from Bethlehem unto God. It is that he would have brethren, and that he would defend his brethren, that he would gather his brethren, that he would feed them, that he would stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, and that he would be the peace, that there would be peace on earth, that there would be peace between God and man. And was that not what the angels sang when they came to Bethlehem? When there was a company of angels at Bethlehem, as there was in the occasion when this prophecy was fulfilled, and their song was glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. This is the purpose of his coming forth unto God out of Bethlehem. He, out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, who will stand, who will feed, who is the bread of life, will feed and give life to the souls of perishing sinners, who will be the peace between God and man, yes, and between man and man, who will bring peace on earth, and glory to God in the highest, the two joined together. Now what we are told with regard to him who thus came out of Bethlehem Ephratah is this, that his goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. His coming forth out of Bethlehem was not the beginning of his existence. Although he was born of a woman there and came forth to begin the course of obedience that would glorify his father then, yet we must ever remember that he who thus came out of Bethlehem and out of the womb of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem, was he whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And in that there is a description of the person who is found in Bethlehem, the one who is in the manger in Bethlehem, who is an infant of days. He is the Ancient of Days. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, or as it might be rendered, from the days of eternity. And so it is that with regard to his person, there is a description here of his person as the Son of God, his goings forth from the Father. That is to say, there is a goings forth, a going forth within the Godhead, a going forth within the Trinity, the going forth of the generation of the Son by the Father, for he is the only begotten Son of the Father, the one whom the Father begets, granting to him, communicating to him the characteristics that belong to him as the second person of the Godhead, so that he is described as the brightness of his glory, like the rays of the sun shining out from the body of the sun. He is as bright as the Father. There is no less brightness in the Son of God than in the Father. His goings forth by way of generation, friend, are exceedingly mysterious. How little in truth we can say of them. But there is something glorious and mysterious here. What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? That is the distinguishing property of the second person of the Godhead, that he is begotten by the Father. The eternal generation of the Son is here brought to your attention. In this way, his goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. They are also described in the 8th chapter of Proverbs, where he, speaking again of the days of eternity, says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before the works of old, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth, not in a creation, but in an eternal generation from the Father, making him therefore to be in the form of God, so that it is not robbery for him to be in the form of God." He who is making himself of no reputation here and coming to Bethlehem, coming to begin his estate of humiliation, is one who thinks it not robbery to be equal with God, who is in the form of God, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Brought forth, he is in the bosom of the Father. He is in the bosom of the Father. He is brought forth. He is born, as it were, by the Father, in the bosom of the Father's nature, in the bosom of the Father's love. His goings forth have been within the Godhead, from of old, even from everlasting. And the contrast ought ever to be before our minds, that he who is now in Bethlehem, he is the God of heaven and earth. He is the creator of heaven and earth. And he is now going forth in this way. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Can we not say his going forth, not just in the what was true within the Godhead, but going forth in his mediatorial work? His goings forth, even these, friend, have been of old, from everlasting. We read in Hosea, how his going forth is prepared as the morning. His going forth is prepared as the morning. It is a going forth, friend, from within the Trinity of the second person who is within the Trinity. He is going forth. Going forth with regard to the salvation of men. There is a going forth in his mediatorial office, in his mediatorial work. And that was also from everlasting, for it was in the covenant of grace that he was called to that office to do all that was required to be the ruler in Israel, to do all that was needed to be the bread of life, to bring fruit to God and to the glory of God. And then he can say, with regard to his office as Savior, as mediator, "I was set up from everlasting." He was called to that office from everlasting by his Father. And his going forth was prepared as the morning. It was to be one who would bring to an end the dark night of sin, the dark night of sorrow, the dark night of condemnation. He is going forth as the sun. "In them he set the sun a tent, who bridegroom-like forth goes from his chamber as a strong man doth, to run his race rejoice." His going forth is prepared as the morning. He is to come as the Son of Righteousness to bring an end to the darkness of sin and misery, and of the blackness of darkness for his brethren. He is to come as the sun rising, or as the day spring from on high. "In them he set the sun a tent." He who is going forth and coming from eternity to time, as he went forth from eternity to time in the assumption of the human nature in his incarnation, came to be dwelling among men here in Bethlehem. "In them he set the sun a tent, the Son of God, the Son of Righteousness, tabernacling among men. In them he set the sun at tent. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, or tabernacled among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the glory of the One whose goings forth are of old, from everlasting, and who went forth, friend, as it were, from the covenant of grace, and came to assume in Bethlehem, in the womb of the Virgin, the humanity prepared there by the Father. In them he set the Son at tent, who bridegroom-like forth goes. He is going forth in this office as mediator. He is going forth in his work as Savior. As a bridegroom, it is to win a bride, it is to purchase a bride, it is to draw sinners to himself, it's to unite sinners to himself. In them he set the Son at tent, who bridegroom-like forth goes from his chamber, as a strong man doth, to run his race, rejoice as the sun rises, as the sun goes forth, as the sun rises, and accomplishes its progress to reach its height in the meridian height of noon. So Christ, coming forth now as we view him, coming forth out of Bethlehem, is going forth as prepared as the morning. It is to go forth as a strong man to run the race that is set before him. And then he set the sun at tent. Bridegroom-like forth goes from his chamber, as a strong man doth, to run his race, rejoice, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. His goings forth then are prepared as the morning. Unto me, out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And we might think of these words also as applying indeed to the very revelation of him that was given in the promises of the Old Testament. His goings forth then, he went forth, friend, in the chariot of the Word. He came into the Garden of Eden in the day that man fell. His goings forth then were to reveal himself and to publish salvation in the execution of his prophetic office. He was going forth to reveal himself in the promises of the Old Testament, in the shadows and types of the Old Testament. His going forth in the chariot of the gospel, in the chariot of the Word, wherefrom of old, from the time the first promise was given. He was going forth. He was going forth for the good of the church in the Old Testament days. Did he not lead them out of Egypt? Did he not lead them through the wilderness? Were they not able to say then, he represented by the ark and by the Shekinah glory bound up with the ark? Could they not say then, let God arise and scattered let all his enemies be, and let all those that do him hate before his presence flee? And they were saying, O God, what time thou didst go forth before thy people's face, and when through the great wilderness thy glorious marching was. He was going forth for the good of his church. But we are coming to this. He has come forth, sent by the Father, coming willingly himself. He has come to Bethlehem. He is in the manger. We are to see him there, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. We are to say, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this great sight which has been come to pass, which has been made known unto us. We are to go to Bethlehem by faith, and we are to see the incarnate Son of God, made of a woman, made under the law, coming forth now unto God, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. In Jeremiah chapter 30, we have a description of what is bound up with this coming forth out of Bethlehem of Christ unto God. When we read in Jeremiah chapter 30 and at verse 21, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. Their governor, that's Christ. He shall proceed from the midst of them. From Bethlehem, he is the Son of Man, truly. He has taken their nature. He has taken their flesh and blood. He comes forth out of them, out of the folk. The Father has said of the one upon whom he laid help, I have raised a chosen one. I will cause him, he says, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engageth his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? It's as if the Father is marveling that he has found one who hath engaged his heart, who engaged his heart in the covenant of grace, who engaged his heart and took upon him covenant vows, as it were, to do this, to approach unto me. He will come forth unto me, yes, unto the glory of the Father, unto the glorifying of the Father. But what must he come with to the Father? If he is to glorify the Father, if he is to be the peace, if he is to have his brethren with him, if he is to give life to sinners, if he is to be the source of all fruitfulness in the hearts and lives of sinners and on this earth, he shall come forth unto me. He must be caused to approach unto the Father as a high priest, as a high priest. And that was what Christ was doing when he came forth out of Bethlehem. It was all unto the Father. It was all a course of obedience and suffering unto the Father. It was all being rendered to the Father, to the Father's justice, to the demands of law and justice. He is coming forth, he is approaching unto God. The Father is causing him to approach unto him, he whom he called and he whom he sent into the world, he for whom he prepared a body. He is coming forth to the Father, and he must come. He must enter in to where the Father is, to where the Father is in the most holy place. Yes, not the most holy place in the temple made with hands. That is not the approach that Christ, as the great high priest of the church, had to the Father. That was true of Aaron, that the high priest once into the second, that is into the most holy place in the temple, went the high priest alone once every year. He approached to God there. He came to draw near to God there. With what did the high priest draw near to God with? But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. And we are told that this was a figure for that time. But we are to go on to this, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Out of thee shall he come forth unto me. He must come forth unto the Father. with blood, not without blood. That was the rule of the justice of God. If the high priest was to approach the Father on behalf of his brethren, in order to their acceptance, in order to their pardon, in order to their drawing nigh to God themselves, in order to their coming at last to the most holy place in heaven itself, if that is to be so, he must come, and he must come not without blood, not without a sacrifice, not without a satisfaction, therefore, to justice, for all the sins of all Christ's brethren. And when we see Christ going forth out of Bethlehem, we are to see him laden with the sins of his brethren whom he represents in the covenant, his sins, their sins rather, laid upon him. He is coming forth as the sin bearer. He is bearing their sins, and he is working out a righteousness for them. And every step that he took in coming forth out of Bethlehem, he is all along in any state of humiliation. He is all along veiling his glory, which is a perpetual aspect of the estate of humiliation in which he is. He is coming forth all along, every footstep, a footstep of humiliation. As Big McRae was saying, every footstep, a footstep of blood. For there was suffering in all his obedience, just as there was obedience in all his suffering. And as he was coming forth out of Bethlehem, eventually to go unto God with the blood that he was to shed, he was all along, we say, obeying the Father. He was going forth with love in his heart to his brethren. He was going forth with love to his Father in his heart. He was going forth bearing, we say, the sins of his people, going forth unto the Father, going forth to obey the Father's will, going forth willingly, all along, knowing all that was to come upon him. He went forth. He went about doing good. He preached the gospel to the poor. You see him coming forth in his public ministry. You see him coming forth, friend. He is coming forth, and he is baptized. He is set apart. He is beginning now his public ministry. He is coming forth to the eye of men, and he is coming forth all along, working out a righteousness, so that at his baptism he was saying to John the Baptist, "Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." He is weaving out the garment of righteousness. Every step he takes is on behalf of his brethren who had no obedience of their own, who were under the wrath and the curse of God. He is coming forth unto God. And we find him at last going forth. We find him how willingly and actively he went, going forth. We read of him going forth. "Arise, let us go hence," he said, from the upper room. "Arise, let us go hence." They went forth. They went forth there. They went forth. He went forth over the brook of Kedron into the garden of Gethsemane. He went forth, whose goings forth were of old, from everlasting, whose going forth is as the morning. He went forth unto the Father. He went into the garden of Gethsemane. He met there with a sword of divine justice, which began to smite him, not in the body, but in the soul. And his blood was shed, his tears, his strong cryings and tears in Gethsemane, were mingling with his blood. And as we were hearing, the seed of his people's, his brethren's salvation was there being sown, the corn of wheat that is to fall into the ground and die. He is beginning to die. He is beginning to suffer in his last sacrificial sufferings unto death. The seed of his people's salvation has been sown in Gethsemane, and he is watering it with his blood and with his tears. And he went forth to drink the cup that his father gave to him. The cup that my father hath given me, he said, shall I not drink it? And he went forth. He went forth then, knowing all things that would come upon him. He went forth to meet the band of soldiers with Judas at their head, who came forth to meet him. And he went forth, and he was saying, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. They fell to the ground. He said to them again, whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth, they said. He said to them, if ye seek me, let these go their way. He was saying that, friend, not so much to the soldiers. He was saying that to justice himself. For it was the justice of God that came forth to arrest him, to lay hold upon him. And he well knew the terms agreed on in the covenant of grace that he could say to justice, if ye seek me, let these, not just the 11 who were with him, but all whom the Father hath given him, all my brethren, if ye seek me, let these go their way. You cannot take both. You cannot take both myself and my brethren. Either I, their surety, must be taken and condemned and suffer and die, or they, my brethren, must be taken each one and die for their own sins. You cannot take both. Justice will not punish both the surety and the debtor, for whom the surety stands. And he, in going forth to the Father, was saying, if ye seek me, let these go their way. And we find him going forth then, going forth, willingly going forth, actively going forth, giving himself a ransom for many, laying down his life, no man taking it from him. He whose goings forth are of old, from everlasting, is active in both his natures. In his high priestly office of giving himself, there is an activity of his divine nature, and giving himself up in the humanity to suffer and to die. And in the humanity, there is this act of his giving himself over into the hands of his enemies, when he said, if you seek me, let these go their way. He then goes forth to the place of sacrifice, to the place of slaughter. He must have blood. If he has engaged his heart to approach unto his Father, he knows that if he is to come to his Father in behalf of his brethren, it must be, as we have said, not without blood, not without the shedding of his blood, not without all that he was to endure. He went forth to it all, mingling the merit of the divine person whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, with the sufferings and obedience performed in the humanity. He is learning obedience by the things which he suffered. We learn obedience by proceeding from disobedience to obedience. It was not so with him. He learned obedience. He who in his Godhead could not be subject to law learned obedience by taking a nature in which he could be made subject to law, and thereafter by proceeding from one degree of greater obedience to a greater degree of obedience still, until he was obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross, learning obedience by the things which he suffered. And he went forth, he was condemned, he went forth, led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. He opened not his mouth. He is shedding sacrificial blood. He is giving his life, we say, a ransom for many. His blood is shed in the scourging as the plowers plowed along his black back, along their furrows drew. The crown of thorns upon his head, they smote. There seems to be a reference to that in the first verse of the chapter here. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. He is having to say, I hid not my face from shame and from spitting. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. He was not rebellious, neither turned away back. He set his face as a flint. He went forth. He went forth, we say, at the head of his people, into the garden of Gethsemane. He went forth at the head of the disciples. O God, what time thou didst go forth before thy people's face. Christ, as it were, at the head of the company of the elect, representing them going forth, but now of the people there must be none with him. He is alone, and he is to tread in the winepress of the wrath of God. It must be true then of the people. There was none with him. They all forsook him and fled. He is alone as he sheds his blood, actively offering himself under the smiting of his Father's justice. And when we think of the blood of Christ, we are thinking, yes, it's true of the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. They pierced his hands and his feet, and a soldier with a spear pierced his side. Thenceforth came there out blood and water, but the whole aspect of his sufferings in soul as well as in body is bound up with the idea of his blood. It is the sacrificial merit of all his sufferings, the sufferings in his soul, the sufferings of the wrath of God in his soul, the pains of hell that took hold on him, he grief and trouble found. He had blood to shed. The flesh and blood that he took was to be a body broken. It was to be blood shed if he was to be the bread of life, as he explained to them. When he said he was the bread of life which came down from heaven, should a man eat, he would live forever, he was going on to say, except ye eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God, you have no life in you. His body is broken, his blood is shed, he is shedding his blood for his brethren. He is dying for the ungodly. His brethren are ungodly. His brethren are without strength. He is laying down his life for them. He is giving his life for ransom for many. It is the blood that is shed for many, for the remission of sins. And the time came when he was able to say of the shedding of his blood, it is finished. It is finished. Ah, friend, he then approached the Father. Who is this that has engaged his heart to approach unto me? As the high priest went alone to the holy place once every year, not without blood, so Christ also, we are told, entered into heaven once with his own blood, with his own blood, and presented that blood to the Father in behalf of all his brethren. Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. He came forth unto the Father as the high priest, with the blood of his sacrifice, in order that his brethren might be accepted, that his brethren might be pardoned, that his brethren might live, and that was infinitely and eternally acceptable to his Father. And as evidence of that, we find him coming forth. We find him with an additional going forth. We find him going forth out of the grave. He had died. He had entered into the state of death. But his goings forth were as the morning. In the morning of the resurrection, as it were, the Son of Righteousness arose. With healing in his wings, he arose from the grave. He arose from under all the weight of death and justice and suffering that he had been in. He arose, his goings forth were as the morning, and the church could say with fresh meaning, let God arise and scattered, let all his enemies be, and let all those that do him hate before his presence flee. He arose, his going forth out of the grave was a wonderful going forth. He went forth, he rose for our justification. He arose now to enter upon his estate of exaltation. And his goings forth included this, that he ascended up to heaven, to the right hand of the Father, to sit in the throne of the Father, where he was made the ruler in Israel. He was given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of everything in heaven and in earth and under the earth. He is the ruler in Israel now. We are to view him as he is now. As he said himself, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. And he is going forth now in the chariot of the gospel. I saw a white horse, and he that sat in him had a bow given unto him. And there was a crown on his head. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. He is going forth still. He is going forth to save his brethren. He is going forth to draw the remnant of his brethren to himself, to gather them into the church, to gather them into union with himself. He is declaring the name of the Father to his brethren. He is going forth in the chariot of the everlasting gospel, just and having salvation. And that is the view we are to have of him when we are in his ordinances. He is going forth to meet with his people there. Thy goings we have seen, O God, the steps of majesty of our God and his mighty King within the sanctuary. We are to seek to see him today going forth, who went forth to suffer and to die, who went forth to present his blood to his Father. He is going forth as the peace, as the Prince of Peace, going forth into the hearts of sinners. Did he ever go forth into your own heart? Did he ever come there to subdue your heart to himself? He is to be the ruler in Israel. Sit thou at my right hand, the Father said to him. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes a stool whereon thy feet may stand. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Is Christ ruling in your own heart? Has Christ come forth into your own heart by his word and by his spirit to take possession of your heart and to sit upon the throne of your heart, to be the ruler over you? Have you come to be among his brethren, of whom he is not ashamed to say that they are his brethren? Ah, friend, Christ has held out to you, he has offered to you, he whose goings forth are of old, from everlasting, he who came forth out of Bethlehem to Calvary, and who came forth out of the grave to the right hand of the Father in heaven, and who is coming forth in the everlasting gospel from heaven to sinners here in time, he is offered to you as a Savior, to make you to be among his brethren, to number you among those who are remembered with the favor that he bears to his own, so that you might well say to him, "Remember me, Lord, with the love which thou to thine despair, with thy salvation, O my God, to visit me draw near, that I thy chosen's good may see, and in their joy rejoice, and may with thine inheritance triumph with cheerful voice." May the Lord bless his word, we shall pray. O Lord, give us to know our need of Christ and of his salvation. May we know our need of a divine Savior, whose divinity gave merit to all his sufferings, and who is now mighty to save, and who is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Be pleased, Lord, to bless now thy word to us, which we have considered what is yet to be before us. Do thou command thy blessing upon it. May thy presence go with us. Do thou give us rest, rest in thyself. May we hear Christ saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And bless us, keep us, and pardon us. For Jesus' sake, amen.